All right, good morning, everybody. We'll go ahead and get started. I'm going to be doing something I normally don't do. I'm going to be doing a sermon series. We're not going to be going through a particular book of the Bible. We're going to be hitting on different themes this season. The overall theme is Christmas miracle, and today's Christmas miracle is hope. It's all these... The three miracles that we're going to be going over is hope, love, and life. Today is just about hope. Next week will be love, and then the week and a half prior to Christmas will be life. And then the Sunday right before Christmas, we have a special group nativity. So I do highly recommend that you guys come to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. It's not going to be your typical Christmas message on that one. And so today we're going to be jumping around to some different verses really that talk about the hope that we have in God, the hope that God gives, and the reason why we need that hope. And so with us starting out at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to be hitting on only 13 and 14. It says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like those that who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." And so, ultimately, as we've talked about Christ before, his birth is nice, and it's very much needed, but his death and resurrection is the most important thing. That's the thing that draws us to God. That's the thing that allows us to be believers. It wasn't his birth, but his birth is what ultimately will bring about that hope in our life. Because his birth was something that only God can do. The fact that he came from a virgin birth, or a virgin, he grew up a blameless and faultless life. He put others before himself. Like I've talked about before in Isaiah chapter 53, read that and you'll get the glimpse of why and how Jesus is really God. But ultimately, what he did was he came to give us hope. In this world that we live in, it seems like we are without hope a lot of times. It seems as though this world is becoming more and more chaotic. This world is more and more deprived of any sort of hope. But yet God, through Jesus Christ, gives us that hope. And that's what Paul is talking about here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It says that, "Now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what happens to the believers who died, so you will not grieve like the people who have no hope." The one thing that we have hope for is the hope for the future. Just like it talks about in Jeremiah. Once again, if you guys are taking notes, I do recommend that you guys take notes because I'm going to be giving you a lot of verses. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, probably a really popular verse for a lot of people know it. For I am with you and will save you, says the Lord. That was chapter 30, not 29. Chapter 29. Verse 11, For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. God doesn't want to leave us in this state of despair. He doesn't want to leave us in this uncertainty of life. In fact, he wants to give us hope. Hope that, yes, we will have life after death. We will be able to see him again. Or that we will be able to spend eternity with him. But he also wants to give us hope that He is there with us today, that He has plans for our life, our current life, the life that we are currently living. But there are conditions for us to get that hope. There are conditions for this. In verse 12 of chapter 29, it says, "In those days you will pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land." So this promise that He gave was originally to the Israelites. But it's a promise that we can hold on to, that if we seek Him wholeheartedly, we will find Him. Much like how it talks in Matthew 6, where it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." All the things you need in life. But there's conditions. There's conditions of our hope. There's conditions of God taking care of us, ultimately, and that's us seeking Him first. Much like our manger out there says, wise men still seek Him. In order for us to have that hope in Jesus, we have to be seeking Him. We have to look at the Christmas story that we find in all the Gospels, except for in the Gospel of John. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when you look at those Gospels and you see the Christmas story, you have to be able to find the hope in that, because that's the bringing about of who Jesus was. That was God saying, look, I no longer can hold back. I have to give you more. I have to bring about that hope, that restitution that He brings about. Then we all know John 3:16, and ultimately shows why He did it, where it says, "For God so loved the entire world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's the hope that we have, is that once we die, we get to have eternal life. This life is just the beginning. Death is not the final curtain call for us. Death just opens the door to something greater, something better, something that is perfect. And God wants us to know about that perfection. God wants us to have that hope of that perfection, because it will allow this life to become a lot more tolerable. And if we're seeking God, then we know that we have that eternal life. We know that He's going to take care of us here on earth. And we know that He loves us more than anything that we can ever understand. And this is not a promise that came about in just the New Testament. This is a promise that was given in the Old Testament. We can see it in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 10, when it says, I will shoot up a root out of Jesse. A root that can't be destroyed, a root that will bring about hope. We can see it in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 4. We can see it throughout the Old Testament. We can see it in the book of Jeremiah. We can see it in the book of Daniel. We can see it in the book of Psalms when David is crying out to God to send the Messiah. The Old Testament prophets and teachers and all of those great men and women of God, they were looking forward to the Messiah. That was their hope. Their hope was to be able to see the Messiah. Their hope was to be able to grasp the Messiah. Their hope was ultimately to be saved. And us as Christians, us on the other side of the Messiah coming, dying, and raising again, our hope now is that when we die, we get to see God face to face. In Romans chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of verses. And so I would really recommend you guys take notes. Romans chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, it says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, with our hope, what does this say will also come? There are two other things that are often associated with Christmas. Joy and peace. Like we've been talking about in 2 John, about that peace that comes. That peace that means that you have that reassurance of your life, that you're not just blindly going through it. You have that peace and that calm in your life, knowing that God is going to take care of it. You have that joy, knowing that even though you may be going through a dark time right now, that there will be that hope on the other side. That there will be that life that will be given to you. We can find the joy even in the darkest points because of who Jesus is. And so that's what he's saying is, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Our hope brings about faith. Our faith encourages our hope. And through both faith and hope, we have complete joy and complete peace. When you look at this world, look at everything that's going on. All the people that are just stabbing each other in the back. There is no unity going on, but there's more and more division. There's more and more people trying to just create a bigger chasm between them and other people. That division is getting even deeper and more rooted in our society. It's destroying families. It's destroying churches. It's destroying people because we are no longer focused on the hope of our future, but we're focused on our personal gain. We're focused more on our political stance than the biblical truths. I was reading an article, and it shows the division of how people can be and how families can be. And what happens when we don't communicate and when we don't try to seek out to be unified. This article is about a divorced couple and their child. Isn't it sad that the children usually have to pay the consequences of separations? But this couple, they had a boy, and they got divorced, they got separated, and while the boy is with his mom, his name is Luna, and he's a girl, and has to dress like a girl. And when he goes to school, he's identified as a female and as a girl. But when he's with his dad, it's a normal boy name. He's a boy. He loves to play with boy toys and dress like a boy. I guess when they first got separated and the mom really started pushing the female gender on the boy, the dad even asked, do you want to be a boy or a girl? And he said he wants to be a boy when he's with dad. And now the mom is thinking of doing hormone blockers. If you don't know what hormone blockers are, basically takes away all the testosterone that a male has, and their male anatomy can actually kind of recede into their body. And it's crazy. But what I'm getting at with this one is that there's that division. And that division is only getting greater between that family. That child is growing up having to deal with being both a male and a female. The child is going to grow up confused. And when we take that hope out of the world, that hope that God brings, this is what happens. It becomes chaotic. There is no peace. There is no joy. It's just chaos. And we see these type of stories happen all the time. To where, looking at our political scene, it's more at a division than I want to say it's been in a very long time. Democrats and Republicans can't seem to agree on anything. There is no bipartisanship. It's just them pushing their agenda. And them slandering the other side, causing such a bigger division within our country. And it's going to continue to happen the more and more they draw Christ out of society. The more and more that they turn their back on God, it's going to become more chaotic. It'll become hopeless. People won't know what to do. They won't know where to go. They won't know how to live. There was a, just to kind of show how it's getting, they want to take all capital letters out of schools because a capital letter is too offensive. Now, what I really think they meant was not just individual capital letters. I think they're referring to typing in all capital letters because it sounds like you're yelling. But there are actually people defending taking out all capital letters, even individual ones, because it's too offensive to people. They can't handle it. Society loves to coddle everybody to where nothing can become offensive, but the end result is everything becomes offensive. And they don't look on how to resolve situations themselves, but they try to look to other people and they try to put the blame on others. Whereas God, He's saying, look, you can look to Me and I will help you get through this. Nowhere in the Bible does He say you'll never be offended. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you'll never be despised. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you'll never have people go against you. But instead, the Bible says the exact opposite. He says you will be offended and you will offend. You will be despised. You will be hurt, and you will hurt others. But ultimately, what we have is that hope. That's the message that we are to give out. And because of that message of hope, people will want to hurt you. People will despise you. People will be offended by you. The world doesn't want only one way. The world says, no matter what is right for you is good for you. What is right for me is good for me. And if those don't go together, that's okay. The world tries to deceive people by making them believe that every way leads to God. The world wants you to believe that Jesus was not who he claimed to be. He was not the Messiah, that he was not the Savior, that he wasn't God, that he was just a man. Now, what I find funny is oftentimes then they'll say, he was a man that had good teaching. Well, how can he be a good teacher if he doesn't line up with everything else that he claims to be? If he is claiming to be the Messiah, he is claiming to be the hope of the world, the light unto the darkness. He claims to be God. He claims to be all these things. If he is not all those things, then everything that he teaches cannot be good, and he cannot be a good teacher, a moral teacher. Because if he is not those things, that means he is willingly and purposely trying to deceive people. Whereas Jesus, he is a good teacher because he is all of those things. And like I said, the world wants to say that every way leads to God, except for the fact that Jesus himself even said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can see the Father except through him. There is no other way of getting to heaven. There's one way, and there's one hope. In Ephesians chapter 4, I've been reading this verse, these verses quite a bit, because I believe in this time of hopelessness, we need to hear it. It says in verse 4 through 6, it says, for there is one body and one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through all. So there's only one hope. That hope is being able to be with God. Because we know that we can have that hope and that trust of being with God, that means that he's going to take care of us here, now. Doesn't mean that we're going to live a perfect life, but it does mean that we can have that hope and that peace and that joy, knowing that our salvation is secure. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, First Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. All praise to God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of the change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So some verses or some versions there in chapter or in verse 3, where it says, now we live with great expectation. Some of them will say, now you live with great hope. Because that's what hope is, right? Hope is not something that we've seen. Because if we've seen it and we've obtained it, then do we really hope for it anymore? No. Hope is things that we have not seen. Hope is knowing, is what is coming up. And because of what Christ did on the cross, and ultimately by him being born by a virgin birth, by a virgin in a manger in the city of David, all the different prophecies that have to talk about his birth being fulfilled in the way that they were fulfilled is what ultimately allowed him to die on the cross. Because God can't do things in small ways. When he's bringing about his Messiah, he has to do it in the biggest, most complicated way possible. He has to do it through giving out multiple different prophecies and saying, look, this is how I'm going to fulfill every single one of those prophecies. This is how I'm going to take care of this. The fact that when he did, he didn't go to kings and kingdoms to announce his coming. Instead, he went to shepherds. He went to wise men. He went after those that would seek after him. He went after those that we would consider to be lowly. Because how crazy would that be if you're a farmer working out on your land and an angel appears to you above everybody else in the entire world. An angel appears to you and says, look, the Messiah is born. Go and worship him. You would think that if God was going to do that, he would go to the royal families. He'd be going to the president. He'd be going to those that are important. He'd be going to the religious leaders and telling them to go and worship the Messiah. But God didn't want to just bring hope to those. He wanted to bring hope to everybody. And so he went to the lowest. He went to those, the wise men that we talk about, the kings that came over with their different gifts, the ones that came from Babylon. They didn't even believe in God. They weren't Jews. They didn't hold to the Jewish customs. But yet God knew that they would be seeking after the star. That if he made the star appear, that those that don't believe would come to worship the new king. They would travel thousands of miles to bring this new baby king some gifts and to worship him. That's the hope. And that's what these people were looking for. They were looking for something that could give them meaning. The wise men they followed a star. The shepherds, they followed to the manger to worship the king. And what did the religious leaders and the king of Israel do? Well, when the wise men came and they brought this hope, because what did they say? When they showed up, they said, where is the king of the Jews? Where is the new Messiah king so that way we can worship him? The king got his scribes together. He got his wise men, to look at the scripture. And they were like, well, the Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so then the king was like, here, you guys go ahead of me. Go worship the new king. Come back, tell me where he's at so I can come and worship him. Well, really what he wanted to do was he wanted to kill him. Because as soon as the wise men left and they went a different route because God told them to go a different route, not to go back to the king, and the king found out that they weren't coming, what did he then do? He then ordered the slaughter and murder of every boy under the age of 2. And so, yes, God went to those that would seek him. He gave them hope for a meaningless world. And if we were to seek God, like how it talks about in Jeremiah 29:12, if we were to seek, or 13, if we were to seek Him wholeheartedly, we will find Him. And He will find us. He will heal us. He will forgive us. He will give us a future. Like how Jesus was talking about in Matthew, if we seek God first, then we know that He's going to take care of our needs. But first we have to be seeking Him. We have to need that hope in our life. There are a lot of people in this world that don't believe that they need that hope because it's pointless for them. People don't believe in God because it actually requires change. But also it has to do with us. During this Christmas season, Christmas should be the easiest time for us to talk about Jesus. Come on, it's Christmas. We can talk about Jesus. But yet we don't. We're happy telling people Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Whereas we could be sharing our faith easily at this time. We could be helping spread that hope. And if we are spreading that hope, that means that we are trusting in God, that He's not going to bring His word back void, pointless, meaningless. But no, He's going to give those words that we say life. And He's going to allow us to spread hope. And because of that, then we will have complete joy and peace. But ultimately, it all starts with us seeking Him. Us being like the wise men and seeking after that we don't know. Because the wise men didn't know the scriptures. They didn't know all the backstory. They didn't know exactly what city He was going to be in. That's why they went to Jerusalem. But yet they were still seeking Him because of the hope that He was going to bring. They were seeking Him because He was the Jewish Messiah, the Jewish King. And so we need to seek the unknown. If you don't know who God is, and you don't know what He can bring, then yes, you are going to be seeking the unknown. But being a Christian for now nearly 20 years, I can tell you that my life is now filled more with hope now than it has ever been. And when I don't seek after God, that hope fades. Uncertainty loves to creep back up. Doubt loves to rear its ugly head. There are so many things that just love it when we don't seek God first. When we don't hold on to that hope, that trust in God. And so what are you seeking this morning? Are you seeking a feel-good God? One that never allows you to be sad, depressed, disappointed? Or are you seeking a God that gives hope? Because I can guarantee you this, that becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you're going to be happy all the time. Being a Christian means that there will be plenty of disappointments in your life. You'll be let down so many times. People will say that they're going to do something, then they don't. or you'll put all this effort into reaching out to a certain person and then they just completely reject you. There will be times where you'll be sad. There will be times where you'll be angry. You're still a human being. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. It just means that you have to trust in the one that is. And that's our hope. Our hope is that as we trust in Jesus, we will get to see him face to face. When we're there at judgment and we're standing before God, we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in, for yours is the kingdom of God." That's our hope. That's why there's only one God. That's why there's only one faith, one hope, one baptism. There's one, not multiple. There's only one way to get to him. So once again, who are you seeking? What are you looking for? Don't look to the world, because the world has no answers. And if you do look to the world, you'll eventually find that the world has no answers for you. But what's interesting is that when you look to the Bible and you read the Bible has answers to every aspect of our life. You're having a problem with somebody, there's verses on how to deal with people that we have problems with. You're fighting with your child, you're fighting with your spouse, you're fighting with a friend, you're fighting. The Bible tells us how to have peace with everybody. How to interact with people. You're having financial issues. There's verses and there's instruction on how we are to maintain our finances. You don't know what job to go after. There's encouraging verses on trusting in God. No matter what you're going through addiction, you're going through whatever it may be. You're having problems with your thoughts. You have your problems with your eyes. You're having all these different problems. God tells us how to deal with it completely in this book. I know it's a big read. But of everything else that we can read, this is the one that's going to give us answers. And it's proven to give answers. You can do all those self-help books, but those only hit the questions partially. This answers it completely. And when we seek after God completely and wholeheartedly, then we're going to seek after his word to know who he is. And once we do that, then we can have hope for the future. And once we have the hope, then he brings about complete peace and joy. So think about that this next week. What are you seeking after? In order to sometimes answer that, what is it that you want? Because if you're not wanting life, then you're not going to wholeheartedly seek after God. You want reassurance that this life is not it? Then you have to seek after God. But you have to seek after God because you want life. Like I talked about at the beginning, next week we're going to be talking about love. And then the very last one, because that's what ultimately what Jesus came to do, was he came to bring life. Our hope is of the future of being with God. And really think about that this week. What are you seeking after? I know I've said that question like 4 or 5 times already. But I want you guys to honestly think about that. Because you might be surprised when you are honest with yourself of what you're actually seeking after. Let's pray. God, we just thank you for this morning. We just ask that as we get into communion this morning that we would remember what you have done. We would remember that hope that you give out so freely, and that we would put our trust and our hope in you, and that we would seek you and only you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys thought I was going to forget about communion. That side, everybody seems to be picking around the edges. As we're talking about today with hope, the communion, when we take communion, is the easiest thing for us to remember. And that's ultimately what we're doing, is remembering that hope that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross. When he broke his body and shed his blood, it was to give us life and that hope that we have of having that life. And so God, we just thank you for this morning again. We thank you that you gave us that hope by breaking your body, that you shed that blood, that you took care of it on the cross, and we thank you for the life that you most joyfully give us. I would ask that we would remember that and take our whole hope into you, Lord God, that we trust you completely and seek after you wholeheartedly. We thank you once again for you taking that beating so that way we can have that life. Go ahead and eat the bread. And God, I just thank you that you wash over us daily that forgiveness, that cleansing blood, that new hope for the future, that you don't leave us in a place of despair, but you want to take us so much higher. And by cleansing us and forgiving us and making us white as snow, we just thank you for your blood. We thank you for everything that you've done for us. We ask that we would be grateful this holiday season for just even the small things that we have in our lives. And we just thank you that you allow us to remember you, that you've given us this symbolism of your body and your blood. Go ahead and take the cup. And God, I just ask that you'd go before us, make our path just bright so that we can't help but see it. Guide us and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I hope you guys have a good day.